And now the game where people who have done a lot of things have to do one more. It's called Not My Job. Neil Sedaka wrote or recorded some of the catchiest tunes in pop history. Calendar Girl, Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, Happy Birthday Sweet 16, Stairway to Heaven. No, not that Stairway to Heaven. The other Stairway to Heaven.
And the original.
The original, the good one. And he's showing no sign of stopping. He's got an album of original songs out now called Music of My Life. We're so excited to have him here. Neil Sedaka, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So let's begin at the beginning. You have been doing this a long time. You were a child prodigy, right?
Well, I started as a concert pianist at the Juilliard here in New York. And then I got into crazy rock and roll, and I've been doing it for more than 50 years.
Oh, my gosh. Now, we heard that you published your first song when you were 13. Is that right?
Not quite. My first published song was 16.
16. Well, still a teenager. What were you writing about? It's like doing homework is hard to do?
I was writing teenage music for a teenage market.
Oh, really? So you love and angst and puppy love and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
So what was it that made you change? You were at Juilliard, you're studying classical music, and then you said to yourself, oh, I want to get into this pop music thing because the groupies are better? What was your...
I wanted to make money.
Ah, that.
It's nice to play a Beethoven sonata, but it's nicer to make money.
Right. And did your parents approve of this move to vulgar popular music?
They hated it.
Really?
Oh, they were horrified. They said, there's a million people who could sing and write songs. You have to be a concert pianist. But I bought my mother a mink stole. She was over the moon, so happy.
Really? You're telling me you bought her off?
Yes.
So you eventually ended up at the legendary Brill Building, right?
We used to write from 10 in the morning till 5 at night, 5 days a week, $50 a week, to write songs.
Now,
what a crazy way to make a living.
Now, this is a famous time and place in American musical history because it was sort of like a pop song factory there on Broadway, was it, in Manhattan?
That's right, yes. And Carole King was there, Neil Diamond, Paul Simon, Tony Orlando. It was a nice group. And we wrote these songs, and my first songs were recorded by Connie Francis. For those of you in the audience who remember the great Connie Francis.
Yeah, yeah.
I wrote Stupid Cupid and Where the Boys Are.
You wrote that?
I did.
Wow.
And a lot of songs for her, and then Bobby Darin and Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley. But I'm name dropping.
This whole idea of like songwriters sitting around in cubicles. Did you have cubicles in this office building?
There were several little rooms with just a piano. And if you got a hit, you graduated to a room with a window.
Oh, wow.
That was a big thing.
Now, what was interesting was all the names that you mentioned, Carole King, Paul Simon, yourself, of course, Neil Diamond, all of you went on to become very famous performers in your own right.
Well, I was the first in the Brill Building to sing. I was very fortunate. Between 1958 and 1963, I sold about 50 million records.
Wow.
My mother was shocked.
Yes. So you had all these amazing, amazing hits that we all remember still being played today through the 60s. In fact, there's that famous line. It's in the chorus of Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. What is it, like down, doobie, do, down, down?
Those are some of my best lyrics.
Don't you think?
Absolutely. When I ran out, I put in a doobie-doo.
Really? You were known for this. You were like the doobie-doo guy.
That's right.
Did you write them out, doobie-doo, down, down?
I did indeed.
Right. Now, you had all these songs during the 60s, and then in the 70s, things changed. I mean, things bifurcated. There was like disco on the one hand, and there was punk and hard rock and the other. I mean, was it difficult for you then as musical styles started to change?
Well, I used to walk down the street and people asked, didn't you used to be Neil Sedaka?
And what did you say?
I said, well, I'm still Neil Sedaka. You haven't heard the last of me.
So you managed. Did you change your style? Or did you just keep writing your own songs? And
I had to change my style. It was the early 70s. And I met a guy by the name of Elton John. Do you ever hear of him?
I've heard of him. He had funny glasses, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he put me on his record label in the early 70s, and I had a big comeback. Laughter in the Rain, and an album called Sadak is Back.
Now, you were on American Idol recently, right?
I was. I was on the second year with Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard, and yeah. I was a celebrity judge.
Yeah.
Clay did a song of mine called Solitaire, which was a very, very big seller.
Wow, that must have been fun.
14-year-olds were asking for my autograph. It was fun.
I imagine. There was one thing I wanted to ask you about. You did a song for Captain and Tennille in the 70s, right?
Yes, I wrote a song called Love Will Keep Us Together.
And that became their huge signature hit. That was their song, right?
Thank you for remembering.
Absolutely.
I'm very happy I launched them.
Not a night of karaoke goes by in this country that song is not performed over 100,000 times.
It's true.
As long as I remember the words.
That's true.
Well, they're on a screen if you forget them.
Hey, before we move on to the game, I wanted to ask you about your new record. You just put out a record of your own songs, you performing them, just like in the old days. There's a song on it that you wrote when you were a teenager.
Yes, the only old song, I was 16 years old, it was a doo-wop song. I actually started a doo-wop group in high school in New York called the Tokens. Do you remember the Tokens?
Yes.
What was their hit?
The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
That's it.
That is
in
correct.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle. Very good.
That is correct.
Well, Neil, are you ready to play the game?
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, you've done so far so good, so we'll see what happens now.
Thanks.
Neil Sedaka, we're so delighted to have you. We've invited you here to play a game that we're calling...
Oops, we can glue that back together, right?
You may have heard that last Friday, a visitor at the Metropolitan Museum of Art tripped and put her hand right through a masterpiece by Picasso. This, it turns out, is not the first time this sort of thing has happened, not by a long shot. We're going to ask you about three more instances that prove that God really, really does not seem to like the fine arts. Answer two questions out of three correctly. You will win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Neil Sedaka playing for?
Neil is playing for Tim Brown of Collinsville, Connecticut.
Ready to play, Neil?
Why not?
Here we go. Here's your first question. In 2000, a drawing by modern artist Lucian Freud worth more than $100,000 came to a bad end in London. What happened? A, somebody was smoking a cigarette and leaned too close to take a look at it. B, it was put through a shredder. Or C, it was mistaken for a child's drawing and thrown out.
I say A.
You say A. Somebody smoking a cigarette leaned too close and poof. That's your guess?
Yes.
I'm afraid it was B. It was put through a shredder.
Oh, boy.
Hadn't even been taken out of its packaging when an overzealous person at Sotheby's Auction House put it into the shredder. All right, you still have two more chances here.
Okay.
A masterpiece by Giorgio de Chirico was hanging in a wall in a townhouse in the Netherlands, perfectly safe, perfectly preserved, when what happened to it? A, a wrecking ball demolishing the building next door came through the wall and smashed it. B, it was hit by a meteor. Or C, the microwave oven on the other side of the wall melted it.
A.
You're going to go for A, the wrecking ball?
Yeah.
You're right. Very good. You said that with such confidence.
I knew it.
You knew it. You knew that story?
I was there.
You were there.
Neil Sedaka fan.
You ducked out of the way just in time.
Yep. Oh,
that's amazing. All right, well, this is great. You have one more question here. If you get this last one right, you'll win everything. Here we go. The most ironic end to a work of art was probably what happened to an installation by avant-garde artist Damien Hirst in 2001 in London. What was it? A, the anesthetized goat at the center of the piece woke up and walked away. B, a custodian thought the whole thing was just a pile of rubbish and threw it away. Or C, his piece using a whole cow was stolen by a gang of art thieves who took it home and made burgers.
B.
You're going to go for B, the custodian threw it away?
Yeah.
You're right again.
Woo!
Woo, he says.
You see, I could do something else besides write songs.
Again, you're not limited to that. The installation by Damien Hirst was a pile of artfully arranged ashtrays, half-filled cups, and empty beer bottles. So naturally, the custodian thought it was garbage, and he threw it away. He said, quote, I didn't think for a second that it was a work of art. It didn't much look like art to me.
Oh, my Lord.
Carl, how did Neil Sedaka do in our quiz?
Well enough, Peter. Neil had two correct answers, so he wins for Tim Brown.
Well done. Congratulations. I got to ask you a question. Probably, and I know this is a generalization, but if not the most famous, but one of the most famous songs you wrote was Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. You've been married to the same woman for 50 years. Is that not true? 50?
Close to 50 years.
Yes.
I was born married.
So how do you know how hard breaking up is?
Well, little did I know when I wrote it how difficult it was. But you know, if you're lucky to have that companion that does it for you, that's a great gift.
Right. So the original, of course, the original title was I Hear Tell That Breaking Up Is Hard to Do.
Well, and I also just rewrote it for my grandchildren. I called it Waking Up Is Hard to Do.
There you go. Neil Sedaka is one of the great singer-songwriters of all time. His new album is called The Music of My Life. Neil Sedaka, thank you so much.
Bye,
for joining
y'all.
Us. And wait, don't tell me. Bye-bye.
Bye, Peter. Bye.
Bye-bye. Don't take your love.